Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Chad Markwitz, and I'm speaking today with Richard Postma, aka Doc. And it's always great to get Doc on the show as a private investor, someone that looks at the markets through the lens of technical analysis and fundamental analysis, and someone that's been trading successfully for decades. So, Doc, it's always great to get your thoughts. And I guess I want to start off with where you think things are heading in this Fed rate hiking cycle that just got announced last week. Jerome Powell kicked it off with a 25 basis point hike. And there's been a lot of news out recently that they'd like to accelerate it. They want to get more aggressive. You've mentioned a few times on the blog that you think they're going to be more aggressive than some people are expecting. And James Bullard and some of the other Fed governors have said they want to see 50 basis point hikes. They want to be aggressive because they want to try to tame inflation. So let's maybe start there. What's your outlook on the markets with this Fed rate hiking cycle in the backdrop?
Well, obviously, it's going to happen. Everybody knows that now. My only question is if things get disturbingly worse in April, whether they might surprise us with an off-meeting increase in April. That would really bring shock and awe to these markets, I think. But it's always a possibility. I don't know if they'll do it. But in May, it looks like they're preparing us for 50 basis points. And I think the Fed is going to be a lot more aggressive than people think. Everybody's on the boat of, well, they'll have to back off right away again. I have a feeling this time they're not going to do it. And they're going to have to inflict some pain on these markets for them to have any semblance of any credibility in the future.
Yeah, and I think Jerome Powell indicated there was a certain amount of pain in the markets that they were willing to endure. He kind of indicated they want to do 7 hikes and want to get it up to what they consider normalizing at 2.5% to 3% Fed funds rate, which would probably take the 10-year up to about 4, 4.5. That'd still be less than where inflation is running, but they're also counting on the base effect from last year to this year that as things roll into the summer, that inflation readings will start coming down. Do you think it's achievable? Do you think they can actually get 7 rate hikes in, get the Fed funds rate up to 2.5% to 3%? And would the markets tolerate that or would they throw a big fit?
Well, number one, in the summer, when they're predicting rates to come down, that's a pretty easy prediction because it was last summer when inflation really started to perk up. So you've got some year-over-year comparisons coming up in the summer that ultimately shouldn't be as bad as the ones we've been seeing compared to 2020. So that in itself will probably make the Fed look okay. But the rate increases might even add to that by the summer. They can say, oh, look what we did, when really we might already be seeing some moderation of inflation by summertime because they'll do the comparison of the previous year. Do they get to 2.5, 3? It's possible. I think it all depends on what they're going to be reading. And I think one of the major areas they're going to be looking at is the stock market. Now, if you notice with the 25 basis point, the stock market's just yawned and now it's moving a little bit higher again. So as long as they can keep raising rates gradually over time and the market doesn't get completely crushed early, I think they'll continue to do it until they've inflicted enough pain on, I think, the stock market. I think that's one of the major areas they're going to be watching, and along with inflation. And as long as the markets levitate, they're not going to be too concerned, and they're not going to start to think about reversing course.
Well, Doc, I'd love to get your thoughts on the general stock markets. I know that at different points last year, you had shorted different markets, and it was a good call because there was a big pullback from the fourth quarter into the first quarter this year in the NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P. We saw some of the individual stocks just get hammered down, you know, by 40, 50, 60%, especially those tech growth stocks. But there has been a bounce back in the markets. Is this something where you would be looking to short it again if it gets up to certain levels, or do you think it has the potential to have some strength here? How are you looking at the general U.S. equities?
Yeah, I'll be shorting it again, Chad. It looks like we're going to move up a little bit more here in the next few days, but then I'll short it again because I think we're really topping. And I did have a good short in the past and did pretty well on it. And I will be shorting again and I'll play it day by day on when I think we may start to see a topping pattern again in these markets. But these markets should not be going anywhere. And in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years may be very difficult for us, because I'm looking at the MACD, which I mentioned time and again when I talked about shorting it at the end of last year on the monthly chart. And the MACD is at levels I haven't seen in years. And I think that's telling us that that the odds of getting the kind of moves we've had in the past are going to be behind us for quite a while.
So it will no longer be a buy the dip market, but more of a sell the rip market.
Yes, I would believe that entirely. Whereas it in opposition, it's going to be buy the dips in the commodities and buy the dips in gold and silver. Those markets will be the ones to buy.
Well, let's talk about the commodities and gold and silver. I'm sure a lot of listeners on this call want to hear about what your outlook is on the resource space. I guess before we get into gold and silver, let's just touch on the other commodities. I mean, we've seen oil running. We've seen the base metals running, whether it's nickel or aluminum or tin, platinum, zinc, almost all the way across the board, the base metals running higher. Do you have any exposure to base metals or to the oil and gas stocks? I think you've traded some oil and gas stocks in the past. Are you still constructive on those sectors?
Yeah, I feel really good about those. And on all these commodities, one of the positions I bought when it was scraping the bottom, it's a company that I looked into, Birchcliff Energy. In fact, it's up almost half a buck today. And I bought that when it was down around $1 or $2, and now it's $6.75. So that's about a triple. But I heard a analyst about 3 years or 2 years ago talk about that company, and they're just spitting out get cash flow like crazy. And so I started taking a position when it was down around $1 to $2, and it's still and it's starting to run very nicely. And I think it's just at its beginning of its run. But I think that's going to be true for a lot of these agricultural, and it's going to be true even for the nuclear stocks. For most of these, and I think we're just at the beginning of this commodity move.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it historically, the commodities, even despite their run higher over the last year or two, and some of that recently got spiked even a little bit more with the Ukraine-Russia tensions, but when you look at it over the last 2 or 3 decades, or really 4 decades, the commodities were crushed in valuation compared to the general stock markets, compared to real estate, compared to the bond market. So there's still a lot of room for commodities to run in the larger cycle. In the near term, are you expecting some of these higher prices to correct down some, or do you think that there's room that even in the short to near term that they could keep running?
For some of them, I think they still could run a little bit, but we're going to have corrections along the way, but that'll just be a time to purchase when you can. So I wouldn't get out of these kind of markets, frankly. Another area I like particularly is biotech. There's a couple, 3 companies I've been slowly purchasing that have just gotten crushed. And I'll be looking at a lot of the rest of the stock market, as I believe that will continue to be peaking and moving down when certain sectors get to areas that I like. I'll probably get into those more than I have in the past, because I think we're going to see a real correction in the conventional markets.
Well, we'll keep following along with those different sectors just to see, you know, as far as biotech and as far as the general equities, to see, you know, how things shape up. And as far as the commodities, it sounds like you still believe medium to longer term, there's lots of room in those sectors. But let's shift over to the precious metals. I know that you were looking at the setup coming into the year. You know, January is an important month. So goes January, so goes the year. And precious metals, you know, got off the mat with a pretty good start, all things considered. They had a nice little bump in January. But what we have been seeing for the most part of this year is, sure, the metals prices were doing good, and silver was kind of in no man's land, just kind of trending sideways. But it did move up a little bit, and so did gold. But it wasn't until just recently that the miners kicked it in a little extra. They had been trending higher, but they hadn't been outpacing the moves in the metals. And then recently we've seen them start to play catch up a little bit. Are you encouraged by this action in the miners, or do you think because they weren't really responding as much as one would hope that maybe they're still signaling a corrective move is in the near term?
No, I think that some of your large cap stocks, like we had talked about in the past, would respond first, and they have, and so have some of the mid cap stocks, which is a positive here. You know, that's a good signal actually for this market, and it shows that there's strength underlying it. And now the juniors, for some reason, a lot of them are really having trouble getting going, but that's okay because that's a sector that, frankly, I've been starting to purchase into our as a junior sector, because some of these stocks are getting just at levels that you know, you can't resist. But it's positive that you have large cap like the Newmonts of this sector and some of the middle caps making this move. Now we'll have to see if they can break out of some of their monthly trading ranges. Because if we start to see that, then we'll know that this is going to be a real move here. The one thing is, back in February, I mentioned that we'd love to see follow through in March. And we did at the first part of March, but now we pulled quite a ways back. And I would hope that before the end of the month, we could close above the upper Bollinger band of the monthly chart. That would be helpful. If we don't, we may move up again in April, because there's a nice gap where there's kind of a daily island up there that we need to fill. Then the question is whether it fills it and keeps going, or whether it falls back. If we see that, then we're going to be in a monthly trading range for a while. So the next really 2 months are really critical for that. And then it'll depend on May, on how aggressive the Fed gets, I think, too. But the other thing that's encouraging some of these stocks, even on some of the juniors, the volumes have been really quite good on some. So that's also a good sign. And the other thing is that the 12-month moving average is starting to compromise the 26-month moving average on the MACD. So there's some really bullish signals, but also the bears still have some good possibilities, because we haven't even touched the 200-week moving average on gold yet. And one would have to think that we'd have to challenge that. Now, that could take place with the average just moving up over time and we moving sideways. So we're right now at an inflection point to see if these metals start to move, or whether they are just tantalizing us for another disappointment.
Well, I hope they're not tantalizing us for another disappointment, but it would not surprise me, the way things have gone the last couple of years, if there was that carrot out there and then we get the stick instead. But I think what you said about the juniors and the seniors was a great point on the mining stock, because that was kind of my point about the juniors really hadn't moved much. But we always see the capital flows come into the bigger stocks like Newmont first, and the royalty companies like Franco-Nevada and, you know, Barrick. And so the big boys get the money first, and then it eventually trickles down. Do you think it's going to take gold breaking above the all-time high to get more generalists excited about it? You know, if we were to break that 2089 high that was set in August of 2020, would that be the catalyst? Or is it going to be when these mining stocks continue to put out good revenues and continue to grow their balance sheets in an environment where a lot of other sectors are sucking wind? Will that attract more of generalists? What do you think it's going to be that's going to get more people to focus on the precious metal sector?
Well, I think the fact that, in spite of the raise in the energy costs, if their margins, profits can come in like they are on some of the bigger ones in the mid-tier, they should continue. They'll come back, but they should continue to move up over time in spite of gold not. And then ultimately, when people see that and they start pushing higher, that's when they'll look at some of the juniors, where I'm really concentrating myself, because those things have not hardly been touched at all. And you can take some really good positions in those. And ultimately, you can get better returns in those juniors than you can in some of the mid tiers and upper tiers. Now, what I would like to see is a close in gold actually taking out the area of 2000. If we can get a close above 2000, that to me would be a good signal. It's not actually taking out 2089, but just having a higher monthly close would be a real positive, I think, and signal better things to come.
Well, let's talk about this month because we're getting pretty close to the end of the March, and it's also the end of a quarter. If we close anywhere where we're at right now in the mid-1900s, it'll be the strongest quarterly close, I think, on record. And so that's got to be a positive for the longer term. And then on the monthly, it looks like we've got a good chance of closing higher than we were last month. Are you encouraged by the setup on the monthly and the quarterly charts here? Because I know at one point, and I want to give you a chance to unpack this, that you had said beware of the Ides of March because, you know, there was the potential we could have a corrective period. But to me, it looks like we're still a week away. Anything can happen, but it looks like we're going to have a strong March close and a strong quarterly close for the first quarter.
Yeah, and if we could, like I mentioned, if we could close up above the 2000, which I don't think we will, but even above the Bollinger Band, that would be positive. And right now on the gold chart, on the weekly chart, it still looks pretty positive, like we could even move a little bit higher next week. What my concern is that we take out that gap in April, and then if we come down again, because then we're right back into those Bollinger Bands, which are actually moving laterally. There's no uptrend on the upper Bollinger Band, and there's no uptrend on the 20-month moving average on the monthly chart. And I would love to see that start to happen, that because that would really give credence to this recent move. And I'm just concerned that in May, when they hit us with shock and awe of 50 basis points, which really isn't much, but to a lot of traders it is, that they might put a damper on a lot of things at that point. And they're going to be jawboning, I think, Fed like crazy, and we see them do it in the past, although it doesn't mean much. But the weekly is still showing positives. So next week, I believe next week, the month ends on Thursday. And it'll be very interesting to see where we close. I would like to see a close above the upper Bollinger Band.
Well, and then let's just say we get that close above the upper Bollinger Band. And then in the month of April, let's say we get a close in the high 1900s, or let's say we close above 2000. You said you'd like to see it above 2000. If we closed April above 2000, even if we had a corrective move in May because of the Fed rate hike, would you still say longer term, a strong close in March, maybe followed by a strong close in April, would still be a medium to longer term bullish factor?
Yeah, then that would be really bullish, because then with the MACD, I don't think the 12-month will trend down as strongly as it has. And the strength indicator, I mentioned that a while back, that the strength indicator, which was gently moving down, was signaling there's a lot of underlying strength to this market, unlike when we saw the big move down in the past in 2011 or 12, where there was a 45-degree move just about in the strength indicators. When you see just a slow decrease in strength indicators, it usually indicates that there is underlying strength in a particular market. And that's what we're seeing. That's why it could be so positive as we go forward. What's interesting about this is we haven't even tested the 50-month moving averages, which is kind of surprising, really. But that's why we need a couple more strong closes this month and into next month. And if that happens, then the odds are very good that we're going to continue higher.
Well, just another point, and that is, you know, you had mentioned that in May we may get the shock and awe of a 50 basis point rate hike, which is really not much, all things considered, and especially historically, but also in the face of 8% inflation right now. But a lot of the mainstream narrative for years, and it's not always correct, has been that in a raising rate environment, that gold prices are going to suffer because you're not getting a yield in gold. It's a pet rock. It's just sitting there. It's not paying anything. And if you look at what's happening in the 10-year treasury, for example, it's gone up a lot on a percentage basis. It's up to 2.48 right now. But let's just say it keeps trending higher and it gets up to 3, 3.5. Does that start stealing gold's thunder because people and investors could rotate into treasuries for the yield? Or do you think the precious metals, like they have in previous cycles, keep blasting higher in this rate hiking cycle?
I think that gold can continue to move higher as long as there isn't a sudden significant change in the rate of inflation. If we would have a couple of months where suddenly inflation was doing better than expected, I think people would start to question whether the Fed's right about it being transitory, and especially with them raising rates. We'd have to see more than just raising rates. We'd have to see a change in the rate of inflation or another factor that would make people question whether we're starting to see something from the standpoint of some stability in money. And then I think we could have a problem. But if they're raising rates and we're still struggling with inflation, or there are other issues that are causing concern, I think this move can continue higher.
Well, and what we've seen recently with price action, especially even once the Ukraine situation's got a little bit roiled up, I mean, what we've seen in oil and gas, what we've seen in raw commodities, what we've seen in food prices, I mean, I've got to imagine that there's probably a little bit more inflation pain to come, and that should underpin a strong commodities price and a strong precious metals price despite the rate hikes. But later in the year, if we start seeing that base effect, do you think that could be a headwind that gold has to pretend with then? Like if we start seeing inflation ratchet down from, let's say it gets to 8.5% and it starts coming down to 7.65 while the rates are going up, is that the kind of environment you were just talking about where we may be a little bit more pressured in the precious metals?
Yeah, I think the Fed would love to be able to get inflation on a year-over-year basis at about 3%, 3 to 4. I think if they promote enough damage in the stock market and the housing market, they would be satisfied with 3 to 4%. Of course, if at that point they take the foot off the accelerator, that could portend a problem for them again in the future, because all we've done is establish a higher base for inflation from which we could go even higher in the future. So I think that's a possibility come the middle of the summer or this summer or June or July. Like I said, that's the comparisons are going to be a lot easier by then. And I think by the summer, we will know about how inflation is going to react in the future. And if we don't see some amelioration by that time, I think we are in deep trouble with it. And then the Fed has a real problem on their hands.
Well, I'm just taking the other side of it. The Fed also has a problem that they can only raise so far before their debt and their balance sheet becomes unpayable because of the interest payments on that debt. So there is a breaking point for the Fed. And a lot of people have suggested that when they get to that point where they finally have to reverse course, where they finally have to start saying, hey, we can't go any higher and we may have to start cutting again, that's what would be nitroglycerin for the gold and silver space. Is that how you're looking at it too? That if they were to reverse course, let's say later in the year, maybe the beginning of next year, that could be the big catalyst for the precious metal space?
It certainly could. And, you know, speaking of that, the carrying costs are such now that you're right. They can only afford to let the rates go so high because otherwise they're going to have to look at other areas to cut as far as discretionarily. They might even have to start thinking about not spending all this money on military hardware. Who knows? Maybe that'll be a positive. But yeah, their carrying costs are going to be going up, as we all know. And you think we have a debt to GDP problem now. Can you imagine what it would be like is if they felt they had to continue their social spending and you have people not keeping up with the rate of inflation and they feel that they have to do universal basic income to support people as far as so they can put food on the table, so they can put gas in their car. Their options are really very poor at the present time, but they have to give the market some semblance that they're serious this time. They can't just back off at the first little sign of a problem. And that's why I feel they won't pull a Volcker on us. They can't. But they will get as close as they can to be a Volcker this time around, because they're going to have to. Because otherwise, they've had it. Their credibility's gone. And nobody's going to be listening to them in the future if they don't show the markets that they're still boss.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how boss they really are and how serious they get. But I agree with you. They've got to save face now or they've lost it for good. Not that they had a lot of face to save in the first place. But that brings up one final question. And that is, let's just say that this rate hiking cycle does create some ripples in the markets and it gets a little worse than people are expecting. In that kind of environment where we've got lower growth expectations, a stagflationary environment with high energy prices, high inflation, high wages, and the slowing growth, if we tip the scales to inverting the yield curve or these high energy prices just kill a lot of the corporate action and we get into a recessionary period, if the stock markets crater in that kind of situation, is that going to take the mining stocks down with them, or could the precious metal sector start diverging from that if there was a corrective move in the general equities?
I think the mining stocks can. In watching the juniors right now, which I'm starting to purchase at these levels, because some of these are absurdly underpriced, and they're giving people a chance to get in on them, whereas on some of the others, like the high cap and mid cap, they've had nice runs. But I think the mining stocks will diverge at that point in time. They will trade in a range here, and a lot of them are already. And I think they're going to trade in a range for a while. But people have plenty of time to get in on these things yet. And some of them have not even come close to breaking out on a monthly chart. But I think mining stocks, especially the mid and upper tier stocks, will diverge from the general market, because no matter what the Fed does, I think inflation is still going to stay fairly strong. I think the markets are starting to signal a recession probably by the end of this year. But I think the mining stocks will be the place to be ultimately.
Well, that's good to hear. And I think I agree with you that there is the potential that the mining stocks, especially the mid-tiers and the larger caps, could continue to diverge from the U.S. equities, because we just saw that same thing happen in oil stocks. Yeah, the markets were getting hit with a lot of the beginning of the year activity, but oil stocks kept on pressing higher and diverged. So I believe we could see something similar with precious metals. I guess I still got one more question, and that is, in your portfolio, I know you trade a lot of the mid-caps, as do I, and you probably have been in position in some of those where they've had some nice moves lately. But you've talked about the candy store being opened for the juniors, and you've mentioned a couple times in this interview that, the juniors really look the most attractive. Would you recommend people scaling out of some of the mid-tiers and the larger cap stocks and then rotating into the juniors at this point in the cycle? Or do you think it's still wise to have a balanced portfolio of both?
I would have a balanced portfolio of both. I've never really purchased the large cap stocks. I like to purchase mid-tiers and juniors. And even today, I looked at something like Fortuna Silver Mines, which is a great company, and it's down today. And I think it may go a little bit lower again. The monthly volume on it is huge, and that's got to tell you something. And that's got to tell you that people are starting to take positions in these things. But those are the type of stocks I'm going to be picking up. And stocks like, for instance, and I'll give you a couple other names, Fury is another one. And I like these also there's stocks that I like based on the technicals. And another one is Irving. And then you look at Bear Creek Mining. I mean, this stock is down back to where it was a long time ago and going lower. And then one that's a producer, that I like, that every time it dips toward its lower Bollinger band, is McEwen Mining, which is probably going to spin off their copper position at the end of this year. And I will continue to buy these. And my cash position has gone from over 90% to less than 85%. So I'm slowly moving into these now. And I think it's the best time in the world to be purchasing some of these.
I know that people are going to think this, so I'll just squeeze in one more. If you went from 90% to 85% cash, at what point will you be, let's say, 50% cash or 40% cash? When will you deploy, some of that cash into the junior mining? Is it going to be after you see what happens in May? Do you think you'll just do it gradually over time? When will you be a little bit more aggressive on deploying that cash?
I would say right now, and it's always tough to know, that by this late spring, I will probably be less than 50% in cash. And I will be slowly moving into these. And what I watch for are moves down in some of these. And take a stock I just mentioned, Fury, for instance. The 200-day moving average is coming down really at a 45-degree angle. And it dipped off of that at about 84 cents. And here we are sub 70. And we're probably going to go back toward the lower Bollinger band of the monthly chart. And when it gets down toward there, I'll buy a good portion of it again. And that's what I look for. You know, I look for these stocks that are bumping off their lower Bollinger band on the monthly chart that are decent companies. And every time they do it, I'll be purchasing. And I'll slowly be moving into these things because even with my positions now that I have, if we took off and went back to the prices we had in the past, based on my portfolio, even at the lower percentage that I have invested, my portfolio will be higher than it was a year ago. And that's how the low cost basis I have on some of these. It's the lowest I've ever had, in fact, Shad, in some of these stocks. I've never had a cost basis this low. And so then it's a matter of just waiting.
Okay. Well, great thoughts there. And I like that your strategy of buying when things dip to the lower Bollinger band or watching those 200-week moving averages. So we'll keep following along. I'm going to be excited when we have you on, Doc, and you're at 50% cash. I can't wait for the day where you've got it deployed because we'll all know that Doc is in the house. But it's nice to see you nibbling at these and starting to take action as you see the right setups. Always appreciate getting your thoughts, Richard Doc Postma. And thanks for spending some time with us at the KE Report. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you on the blogs.